This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to jump right into the impact segment. Each hour, we start with 20 plus minutes of nonstop discussion, dialogue, sometimes debate. In other words, no commercials. It's our way of thanking you for supporting this radio program. Dr. Mark Baker is Executive Director of LaVie Counseling. He's also author of a book that's been out all of, I think, 48 hours. It's entitled Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, How Your Eight Key Emotions Can Work for You. Dr. Mark Baker, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Good to see you, Frank. It's good to be here as always.
Thank you. I want to jump right in. We had incomprehensible, hard to grasp manifestation of evil just a few days ago in Las Vegas. And my understanding is some, and I know a lot of people in Southern California were impacted by that. Mm-hmm. You know a little bit about this.
Right.
Talk about what your practice, what your ministry has been like the last few days.
Well, we have the honor of coming alongside people in the most difficult of times, and this is one of them. When something like this happens, people are just stunned. And there's no psychological answer for why this can happen. That's a theological question, right? And the answer to that is that evil exists. There are people who will do evil things. But then we have to deal with the fallout of that in our lives as believers. You know, we're promised that God will not abandon us, but we're not promised that he's not going to allow suffering to be here. I mean, it's here. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. I mean, and he, Jesus wasn't just, you know, that wasn't just a metaphor. I mean, he literally carried his cross, you know, to the grave. So we have to face the trials that come at us, and that's what we do in our work as we come alongside people who have to face these traumas. I mean, just 2 hours ago, I was sitting in a room with a woman who was there in Las Vegas, and she was there, a young Christian woman there with her friends, just having a good time, planning on getting on a plane, going to work Monday morning, and people started dropping all around her. She had to run for her life, and by the grace of God that she's alive today, right? So here's this young woman who is a very committed Christian, and she can't sleep through the night. She was quivering the whole time in my office. She can't eat. Every time somebody starts their car, she ducks as if someone's firing a semi-automatic weapon around her. She's truly traumatized. So we know that God is with us, and we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us because we've invited that. We as believers know that, right? So that is true for us, and it is not a lack of faith that this woman has been traumatized. This is not a crisis of faith. It is a psychological property of trauma to feel very alone, and there are certain just effects that's going to have on you. And it's our job as believers to face that suffering. That's our cross. How are we going to face the psychological traumas in our life the best we can? And that's what we do. We come alongside people and help them. We take them by the arm and help them bear up under the weight of that cross and go down the road the next few steps in front of us. Because these things are going to happen. And we have to learn how to face these things in our life. How are we going to deal with the psychological, emotional side effects of this kind of evil that exists in our world today? And it's our job to try to suffer well and not pretend it doesn't exist, and not pretend that just because I'm a Christian that's never going to happen to me, because that's never promised. But to know that God will be with us in it, and He'll send people into the church and into the world to help us bear the strength of that. The word comfort is in English has two parts, come, C-O-M, and fort, F-O-R-T. And it means with strength. The word literally means with strength. Nothing in that word says we're going to take the pain away. You know, God's comfort to us is that he's going to give us strength in it. That's what real comfort is. Not that you won't be traumatized, you won't have flashbacks, you won't have sleepless nights. That's not the promise. The promise is that he'll give you the strength to deal with that when it happens. And that's what we do, and that's what we've been doing the last several days, is come along the side of people who've been there, been literally traumatized, and they're having a natural response to an unnatural event, right? The event itself is evil. That's not the way God intended us to live. So when an unnatural or evil thing happens like that, we'll have a natural response to that, which is to be traumatized, you know, to be afraid, to be frightened, with something called hypervigilance. What that literally means is when you've been traumatized, you're going to be very vigilant. You're going to be looking out, you know, and you'll actually think you see something that isn't really there. That's called hypervigilance. So like when the car starts, she thinks bullets are firing, right? That's hypervigilance. It's a very normal reaction to being traumatized. And we have to, as Christians, be wise today. How are we going to deal with those emotions? How are we going to step into the very difficult things that happen in our life and respond emotionally with strength? And God has given us things to equip us to deal with that.
Dr. Mark Baker from Livy Counseling is my guest. You shared a lot, Doc, and there's a few things that stood out to me. And I guess the first question would be, talk about the courage it takes for someone like this young woman to say, I want to confront, lack of better terms, my demons.
Right, right. That's a good phrase for it. Because it feels like it to her. That's exactly how it feels to her. And it takes a lot of courage to call. Courage because we think it's a lack of faith or we think it's a sign of weakness for us to need help. You know, I'm supposed to be able to just not let this affect me as if, you know, that's somehow being more spiritual. And it takes courage to face that, no, it is actually more spiritual to realize God created you to be a dependent person on Him and to need others as well in order for us to support each other to get through times like this. And this woman I actually had seen in counseling several years ago, and we resolved those issues, and she went on about her life, and boom, she's right back in trauma again. And she tried to tough it out the first few days, thinking, well, you know, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go to church, and then I haven't been able to sleep for 4 days. I need to have the wisdom to call and ask for counsel, because I'm feeling something that I'm not just getting over by myself. And that takes courage to realize that just because something has happened to you and you're hurting, it doesn't mean you're weak. If you've been victimized by life circumstances and you're hurting, you need help with that. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of we live in a fallen world. You know, you're going to get injured, and it takes courage to say, no, I need help right now. And she's made that call, and we've started on the process of, which will be a while. It'll take the process of getting her back to a place where she feels safe again. You know, ultimately she will get to a place where she realizes that stuff happens in the world. God has made the world such that Satan can do these things. I've accepted that, but that was then, and this is now. You know, I feel God's presence with me now to allow me to sleep through the night and feel safe again. And that's a process that we have to work through together. So I think, and we will get there, but it takes courage to reach out and make that call.
Last question, as it applies to this directly, you say we will eventually get there. Can you address the lies of the enemy that would say things like, and this is where he gets a stronghold, it's never going to get better, it's always going to be that way, right? Why even try?
Right. Yeah, when something like this happens in your life and it feels really bad, you get the feeling that this feels so bad, it's always going to feel this way. And that's a lie. You're right, that's a lie. God is above space and time, but we're not. We live in time. And the thing about trauma, one of the things about trauma that's so devastating, is it freezes a sense of time. You get stuck in this place back in time, and you get the feeling that it's not going to get better because I'm frozen. I can't get out of that. And that's what flashbacks are. They take you back to that point in time in which you're traumatized and you feel like you can't get out of it. That's a lie. If we deal with trauma in the right way, in a wise way, we do grow through it, but it has to be dealt with. Situations like this sometimes don't get better on their own. You actually need help to come alongside it. And here's one of the things that really is most devastating about trauma. Is that when you're really, really traumatized, when something like this evil happens to you and emotionally just blindsides you, you get the feeling that nobody understands. You get this feeling that I'm very alone. You can stand in the middle of a room full of people and feel very, very alone. You look around at their faces and think, they don't get it. They haven't been through what I've been through. I feel very alone. And for some people, it is so awful that they feel God doesn't even get it. And this is really important, that when Jesus was on the cross, you remember when he was taking his last breath, he was suffocating there, he was dying on the cross, bleeding. He looks up to heaven and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? Well, theologically, we know, okay, he took on the sins of the world, God turned his face from him. We know the theological explanation, and I believe all that. But I'll tell you something else about that statement. That statement is not a lack of faith. That is not what that is. It was not a lack of faith on Jesus' part to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a psychological property of trauma to feel very alone and nobody gets you. He was fully man and fully God. So this, the fully man part of him felt very incredibly alone in that moment because that's what trauma makes you feel. And this is important, that you can buy into the lie that because I feel alone, I am alone. You can believe the lie that, okay, I feel nobody gets it. God doesn't even get it, so God's not here for me. No, he is there for you. You just can't feel it because you've been traumatized. So we have to accept that sometimes we're going to have that reaction. And I know there are people listening to me right now who've had that experience. They've been so hurt, so blindsided that they feel like nobody gets it. Their wife doesn't get it. Their children don't get it. The pastor doesn't get it. God himself doesn't get it because I feel so alone. And I'm here to say to you, that is a psychological property of trauma. You've been traumatized, and so you're feeling really alone and nobody gets it. But I'm telling you, you're not alone, but you feel it. And you can believe that lie that you are in fact alone when you feel so profoundly not understood.
Dr. Mark Baker is in studio. He's executive director of LaVie Counseling. We'll give the information out. If you need to reach out to LaVie, they are there for you 24/7. One of the reasons why we invited Dr. Baker into the studio, he has a brand new book out that literally was just released a day or two ago. It's entitled Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. Talk about why you would write this book, and we can spend a few moments talking in greater detail about it.
I wrote that book because of a verse in Philippians that I read many years ago. I read that this verse that said, look, don't be anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication, let all your requests be known to God, right? So I thought that verse meant we're not supposed to be anxious, right? That's what it says, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian, you're not supposed to be anxious. So I developed a research project with one of the world authorities on anxiety. His name was Dr. Richard Gorsuch. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he developed a measure of anxiety. It was the most used measure in this country of anxiety. He was also the editor of the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion. So I thought, this is a perfect guy to help me answer this question. We developed a research project to study anxiety among Christians. And we took people out into the desert and stressed them. We threw them off mountains with a rope tied around them. Call it rappelling, and we left them in the desert overnight with just a knife, said, good luck, we'll be back in the morning. Stressed them, really stressed, made them very anxious. And we measured their religious orientation. Are these people really believers? Do they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are they just social, religious people in a generic term? So we narrowed it down to, okay, these are the true believers over here. Here's the anxiety. We're going to go and measure them. We took them out in the desert, stressed them to death, measured their stuff. And you know what we found? It doesn't matter how close you are to God. If you put somebody in the desert and stress them out, they're going to be anxious, right? So all those times when people say, my faith is such that I don't feel any anxiety. But we know if the circumstances are right, you will. You're going to feel anxiety. So I thought, well, that blows the research. Then 2 weeks later, we measured their anxiety again, and you know what we found, is the true believers weren't anxious anymore. The people who had a personal relationship with a living God and could go to him with their anxiety released it. They released their anxiety, and everybody else was anxious. The atheists were still anxious. The agnostics were still anxious. The socially religious people were still anxious, but the people who had a personal relationship with a living God were not anxious anymore. So now I understand the verse. It's not don't be anxious. It's when you are anxious, hey, take your requests and your prayers to God. It's a way of dealing with your feelings. I think that Scripture has a lot of brilliant, brilliant wisdom for us in dealing with our emotional lives. But we've got to dig into it to understand what it really means. You might think the verse is saying one thing when it's really saying something else. And so I've written a whole book on that. I take 8 of our key emotions that we all have. And what does the Bible have to say about those emotions? And what does the best of contemporary psychology have to say about those emotions? And how can we put those two things together? What's the wisdom in Scripture that we have to help us deal with our anxiety, our fears, our anger, our sadness, our addictions? How are we going to deal with these things? Realizing that all truth is God's truth. I don't have to be afraid of psychological research. If I think it contradicts scripture, it's just because I haven't done enough research yet. You know, just need to keep doing the research till I see, oh, that's what the verse really meant, and put those things together. So that's really where that came from. I wanted to clarify for people what scripture has to say about our emotional lives, because I think we all need to have that to be who God has intended us to be.
Let me reiterate again the name of your book, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. And the subtitle, as Dr. Baker just alluded to, How Your Eight Key Emotions Can Work for You. I think this is where I want to go. And just follow me, Dr.
Okay.
Baker. So we're Christians. We know the Lord. We know God. We're here in the world, not of it. All these things that we fill our heads and our hearts with, thinking this is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, the world hits us over the head. Trauma, you just used an example with the tragedy in Las Vegas. And yet, when you see something, spiritual wisdom for a happier life, it was once posed to me. I mean, we can go to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus at Bethesda, do you really want to heal?
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak to the realities of we as human, flawed, fallible sinners saved by the grace of Christ? Do we really, is part of it to choose to have a happier life? To really want to be happy?
The answer is yes. There is choice involved. That's right. And I know the argument from Philippians that we're really supposed to be joyful and not happy. And I'm familiar with all that. And I believe that joy really is the deeper level that we're seeking for. But I also think if you make good choices, you're going to be happier. You know, if you face the emotional struggles in your life, you're going to be happier. And Scripture is pointing us in that direction. It's pointing us not, to have a depth of joy in our life, but He also wants us to be people who know how to maximize emotional situations to point us in the direction of happiness, too. That part's a choice. See, suffering in life is a force. It's going to push us in direction. You don't get to choose if you're going to suffer in life. That's not a choice. You get to choose the direction in which it pushes you. Think about it. The people I know who are the wisest people I know in life are people who've suffered a great deal in life. But the people I know who are the most bitter people in life are people who've suffered a great deal in life. So suffering in and of itself doesn't determine whether or not you're going to be bitter or better because of suffering. It's the direction you choose to let it push you that determines whether or not you're going to be a better person or a bitter person because of suffering in life. That part's a choice. And that's really what this book is about, is what are the things you need to know to choose the direction in which suffering pushes you in life? Because that part we do have some choice over. For instance, let's take the issue of personal power. Let's just take that. I'm going to throw that word out. And as you know, I know you've had a long history out there with this term. And personal power, I believe, when you look at Scripture, is the opposite of everything that's ever been written about personal power. Personal power is not domination. Personal power is inspiration. To have power with another person, you inspire them from the inside. You don't dominate them from the outside. The world has that all wrong. If you get up every morning and you wash your face and you suit up and I'm going to choose good because I know there's good out there. I know my life is difficult and I'm suffering and I lost my job or maybe my wife's leaving me and I got real suffering in my life. I can still get up every morning, suit up for life, wash my face, head out in the direction of finding what good I can choose to do. That's a choice. You will have personal power. People around you will go, whoa, that guy's an inspiration. There's something about that guy's life I want in mine. That's personal power, where they're inspired by how you're facing the trials in life in a way that makes them want to live like you live, right? Because we have something nobody else has. We have a power source to empower us to make good choices. We have reasons to choose good things in life because of the God we worship, right? So we should be able to find these tools to choose to be powerful in a way that fools other people in a way they'd never understand. I'm not trying to control anybody, but if I can face my suffering well in life and choose the direction in which my suffering pushes me, I'm going to inspire other people. And we now know that the power of inspiring people is much more powerful than trying to control them. That power to try and control people dies as soon as the leverage is gone. But if you inspire someone, the power to influence them multiplies long after you're gone. So, yes, we can choose the direction we live, and that is pointing you in the direction of a happier life when you make those good choices.
Dr. Mark Baker is my guest. Again, his brand new book, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. We have a few minutes left to wind down. This is the question I want to ask you. You're executive director at LaVie. You counsel. You have a lot of oars in the water, if you will. And to write a book is a major undertaking. I want to hear and have you convey to the listeners your heart, your reasons, your passion, your struggle for writing such a book, because obviously you wrote this book for many people, both of faith and not faith, but mostly we of the Christian faith, to recognize God's plan is much greater than maybe we can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Why write this book?
Because I really want those of us who are people of faith to really live a life that God wants us to live, the full life. I want us to live the fullest. And yes, I believe that heaven, that there's an afterlife, and I believe that's where I'm going, and I have assurance of that. But it's here now. You know, the kingdom's here now. I want us to not wait around for the good times to come after I am dead and in heaven. I want to be able to maximize the fullness of life right now. And that means, yes, my relationship with God empowers me to do that, but there's some wise choices I can make to live that full life now, or some foolish choices I can make to rob myself of that full life now. And let's face it, for those of us here, like who live in Los Angeles, yeah, we've got financial struggles, and we have economic struggles, and we have physical struggles, and those things are true. But we live in one of the most blessed places on the planet in terms of our blessings that we have physically. That really, our biggest struggle, where we're really starving, is emotionally. That's where we're starving. That's where our struggles are. That's where we're cheating ourselves, is not living the full life emotionally. You know, when I think of feeding the hungry, I do, you know, and I support hunger efforts here in Los Angeles, but mostly in other countries, right? But my next door neighbor is starving. I mean, he's starving emotionally and spiritually. You know, that's how we're starving here in LA. So I wrote that book to give us some food for how to live the fullest life here right now. I want to have the fullest Christian marriages. I want us to be the best Christian parents. I want us to be the best Christian children. And to do that, we have to harness our emotions and live those out in the way that I think God intends us to live those out. And I don't want us to be ignorant of that. There's just some things we just need to be taught so that we're not ignorant of how to deal with our emotional lives. So we can really live full lives spiritually and emotionally in our world right here, right now in Los Angeles today.
Dr. Mark Baker's brand new book is Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, How Your 8 Key Emotions Can Work for You. You can get this at all the usual places. You can also go to LaVieCounseling.org for more information. We've literally got about a minute. Talk about LaVie Counseling. We obviously want our listeners to get the book and, in addition, reach out to you if they're in trouble and they want to address some things that they know God's put on their heart. Look, I got to be courageous. I want to address some of this.
I do. I know that most of the people who are at the event in Las Vegas came from here, some Southern California. There are many people who are listening to us right now who were there, or they know people who were there. It's touched so many of our lives. And we have been traumatized. And some of us, we call it vicarious trauma. Like if you have a son or a daughter who was there, I mean, you were traumatized because you just almost lost a family member. Or maybe you did lose a family member. So you're traumatized by that loss. And that's our mission at the LaVie Christian Counseling Center. We were established in 1980 to do this thing. We wanted to bring the best of psychological services to the household of faith. That's our primary goal. And people who are not Christian come to us too. You know, they feel safe coming to us because we have conservative principles and we follow conservative guidelines. But our primary goal was really to put together faith and the best of emotional health so that we can help people deal with the kinds of traumas that happen in our world in which we live. Things like this evil that happened in Las Vegas are going to keep happening. Wars are going to keep happening. It's not going to stop. But God has given us some tools and equipped the people at our counseling center. We have 39 counselors now at our counseling center who are called to do this work. This isn't just a job for them. Every one of them feels called. I feel called by God to do this, to come alongside of people in the deepest point of pain and to stand with them until we can make sense out of it and find that comfort I was talking about, find that strength in order to deal with the sufferings of our life. And it's actually, I know I deal with terrible things and really stressful things. I mean, I almost cried today talking with this woman. You know, almost brought me to tears. But I get up every morning loving it because I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And that's how every one of our 39 therapists feel. We feel like, nope, this is what God called me to do. So there's a spring in your step when you feel like God's called you to do that.
LaVieCounseling.org is their website. Dr. Mark Baker is executive director, LaVieCounseling.org. And if someone wants to reach out to you via phone, what's the number?
800-801-5242. That's our 800 number, 800-801-5242. And we have offices in Pasadena and Santa Monica. And like I said, we've been helping people here since 1980.
God bless you, my brother.
Thank you.
All the best with the book.
Thanks.
All right. We will continue with more here on the Frank Sontag Show, 99.5 KKLA.